This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
Welcome to Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. We are so glad you're here to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families. So sit back, relax, connect, and enjoy. We are here with conscious chiropractor, Dr.
Hengestad.
Hengestad.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're so glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome to be here.
We wanted to start the day by having you explain in support of what it is to be a chiropractor, first of all, and what does that mean, and how do people come in and see you, and what do they experience as far as their health and wellness with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So as a chiropractor, even going through the experience for myself was really learning that your first exposure is all about certain back pain, neck pain, headaches, which is the most common thing of why people come in. But once you delve into it, you really find out that it's such at a deeper level that it can really be a balance in what we call like the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system, which is is your body in a fight or flight mode, always stressed out? Chiropractic can help balance the nervous system out. Mm-hmm. So what we find then is going with children is a lot of times they're in that fight or flight mode. And this is just one part that can be really helpful to help calm their nervous system down. And when you calm the nervous system down, that allows everything else to function better. So they're not always in, we call that fight or flight mode.
Right.
And so that even goes into more because it as a big educational piece that I do with patients is, we go in, what are they here for? Then you start to educate. Right. Then you start to know and realize that there's a lot of need for children to kind of get off that fight or flight mode. And that's just, again, part of it, along with, of course, avoiding certain foods and things like that. But structurally, very important.
Well, and then also noticing, as a pediatric critical care nurse, mm-hmm. also, and a newborn intensive care nurse, I have been back to many high-risk deliveries in the hospital and had seen stress patterns and structural issues related to even the birthing process, mm-hmm. and experiencing, many different traumas and different situations that happen to the body as the baby's born, related to emergencies or different other situations that are happening simultaneously.
Yeah, and absolutely. Absolutely. To imagine you've seen birth trauma, the trauma, you watch a video,
right.
And to think how much strain is on a baby's neck,
right.
And how much that immediately has effect of welcome to the world. You know, they could easily have some type of a subluxation misalignment,
right.
That's constantly compressing on the nervous system.
Which then affects their breathing.
Yep.
It affects their ability to latch on. It affects their feeding. It affects mm-hmm. their digestion.
Yep.
Yeah. That's really cool. That's something that I guess maybe not a lot of people think about. I know I've never thought about that. Mm-hmm. Like whenever a baby's born, they just got to come out. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Right. I mean, yeah, there's stuff, the breach and all that, but like to think that big thing is coming down that little thing at a speed of whatever, and
right.
It's like, going down this pipe, essentially, yeah, there could be all kinds of kinks and triggers and stuff. So that's really cool. Like,
yeah,
it starts as soon as it comes out. It's probably got a crick in the neck from being in the womb for 9 months.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And, that's the thing is, like, with chiropractic alone, specifically, it's dealing with the nervous system. Like, that's our primary system that we work with.
Right.
And that is our communication. That is our, what you could say is how the baby starts to communicate with every single sensory thing in the world.
Right.
And if it's off, things are going to be off. It's going to respond differently.
I think so. Just to back up just a little bit, like I think a lot of people like to know a little bit of backstory from the people we're talking to. So, mm-hmm. can you tell us where or how you got started? Not only in just wanting to, that calling to be a chiropractor, but how you obviously, from talking to you in the past, have separated yourself from just the ordinary chiropractor.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And I think a lot of my thing has been, just my own personal experience, having that, a lot of chiropractors will experience like, oh, I had a sports injury, and that's what kind of started it. And I kind of went that route of some painkillers and, just trying to figure it out. But internally, I think, it's funny as I look back is like intuitively, I knew at that age, younger age, like there's a natural way to this, but I didn't mentally know what that way was until I was introduced to chiropractic. And then she explained it to me and it was just like, that was the answer my intuition was just, screaming for. And did some adjustments, things were healed. I was on the playing field and I've always been really good at anatomy. So there was just a strong connection with that. So then I knew I was a sophomore in high school when I said, I'm going to be a chiropractor someday.
So was that when you were talking about she, are you talking about somebody like an old chiropractor of yours?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's kind of was my, mentor.
Sensei.
Yes. Sensei.
Chiropractor sensei.
That's right. And she just was an awesome person and just so caring and nurturing that really like instilled what's really important with a chiropractic office also is just having a sense of caring, for each patient and things like that. So, and that just led me down the path.
So from knowing you though, that you aren't, you're not your typical chiropractor.
Right.
You do so many things across the board. Mm-hmm. You do the muscle testing. Yep. Even when it comes to more of the spiritual side of chakras and all of this, where did that start to come into play in your chiropractor timeline?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the muscle testing, which is, to me, I just think it should be a part of any type of health care professional, just part of the tool they have in their toolbox to use.
Yeah.
Mine was, I had mono in high school for 9 months. And just tried to sleep it off. And then I went back to my chiropractor. And the funniest thing was I had stayed home for so long, my back and neck were hurting. And I was like, oh, I need to go see my chiropractor. And I walked in. She looked at me and knew I was sick. She's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, oh, I've had mono for 9 months. And she's like, well, why didn't you come see me? And I said, you're just a chiropractor, which is funny because I hear a lot of that now. But she's like, lay down. And she started doing some muscle testing. And I had no idea, but I was so so fascinated by it, and she gave me a supplement change. I was out of it. It was a specific supplement that helped build my immune system, and that's when the muscle testing came into play.
Right.
It worked. Well, I didn't question it. It worked.
Let's explain a little bit to people what muscle testing means. It really is muscle response testing.
Yep. Yep.
And what we're testing is we're accessing muscle responses in the body. When an intention or a thought question comes forward to that body responds by either responding weak or strong in that response, or on or off.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, we gain access to the body or the physical body about what's happening.
Yep.
And then what we can do is we didn't realize this, but actually we can move into other realms of the muscle response testing. You can ask the mental body. You can ask the emotional body. You can ask the spiritual body. You can gain access to understanding what this individual is experiencing on any different level or understanding, how we phrase the question.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And then I didn't know. And then as I progressed more, it was just fascinating, like what you said, the emotional component, doing emotional work on a patient and just knowing, like, look, this grief that you have not processed, it's in there.
Right.
And you have to let this go or you're just going to keep getting sicker and sicker and sicker.
Exactly.
Hanging on to that.
I think many people really are rather misunderstanding about how this occurs. A lot of times we are a multifaceted person. We are a multifaceted human being and we have these different aspects of us. But what's really amazing is we live here in our bodies in the physical world. And so a lot of times even the spiritual, mental, or emotional discords or things that are out of balance or in conflict actually come through and funnel through and get manifested and expressed through the physical.
Yep.
And so coming up with you do it too. I do it. Lots of people do it empirically. I don't know. We'll probably have textbooks on it next year.
Yeah.
But where that comes from is, so what we want to do is determine where is the root cause coming from. To get at that root cause, to really shift that, then that opens the cascade of it shifting the rest of it that you're presenting in the moment in the office, for example. Mm-hmm. So we look at root causes. Is it physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual? And when those are addressed at the root causes, we find that really deep, profound, even long-lasting, for and sometimes forever, healing occurs.
Yeah. This reminds me, this conversation's come up a lot within my own research of self-improvement and self-knowledge of how my own body, spirit, mind, and emotions work. And so the question I have is, the medical world has operated separately from the other three elements of PEMS for so long. How is that conversation for both of you as a nurse and a chiropractor in merging and in teaching clients and future clients that it's all connected, and that conversation is, it's like there is science behind it, yet there is also this unseeable under a microscope version of how we go about healing ourselves. So how does that conversation, how can I go out into the world and say, okay, there's more to this than just you got a bruise on your thing, here's how you heal it with physical medicine.
Right. How do you, like, I guess almost, how do you tell people their responsibility in their own body whenever it comes to their thoughts and actions?
Yeah, it's definitely, when you start talking to someone, you just kind of, you know, tap into their intuitiveness of, you know, hey, does this, you know, you've tried this. How did it feel when you were trying it? Did you get the results that you wanted? Did you, you know, and they really kind of open up. And they're like, you know, no, that wasn't working. And so it just kind of helps open up that opportunity for me to say, because there's a lot of things that might not work, which we look at mainstream. But what's going on is your body wants something that's more of a natural approach. And they get it.
Right.
And then they just, like, their ears open up and they're just, they really, you can tell that they're connecting.
I know, and I think part of it I was thinking about to help be really clear is muscle testing or muscle response testing is an assessment tool. It is a form of a diagnostic type of tool. And so it's not a treatment tool.
Yep.
It's a way we can access understanding. And from my realm of the energy healing, it accesses the energies in our bodies, whether that's physical energy, emotional, mental, or spiritual. And that's how then we can determine. So it's like, I think Travis and Pete, you all were talking about, where do you start? Mm-hmm. Like, and so a lot of people start from symptom base. What am I feeling? What am I experiencing? What is it that I don't like that and I want something different? So a lot of times we talk about, okay, what's wrong and how do we fix it? But I'll tell you what's really fascinating, and I bet you've seen it in your practice as well, is not only are we reframing that as well, we're now switching as a society that seeks whole health healing as not what's wrong, but what is it that we would like better? Mm-hmm. What is it that we would like to see good in our lives? And rather chasing after the carrot, waving over us, saying, you know, this is wrong, I have to fix this, instead of moving from a fix-it process.
That sounds a little familiar, actually. It sounds like something that there was a little practice that if you go to Center for Conscious Kids, there's, I'm sure, some links on there about some different ways that you can start your day, which, you know, Pete and I have been doing, which is the first question is, what is right with my body?
Yeah.
And then you go right into what is wrong with my body, and then what would you like for your body to be like?
Yeah, what would you like to feel?
Yeah.
So we start with gratitude first? Mm-hmm. So that gratitude centers us and gets us into a place where we're unattached from the outcomes, mostly because when we have gratitude, we're already grateful for something that we already feel that we've received.
Yeah.
So it helps us let go of the attachments to the outcomes. And we notice and we reframe our mental thinking about what is good in our body, even if it's just our eyelash, mm-hmm. right, or our eyebrow. But what we do is reframe that and then give honor to that which doesn't feel good so that we can support that and really move that into a direction that we'd like to. And so I think that's what you're asking is, where do we start? Where do we start with that whole health healing aspect?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, the symptoms is, you know, I tell patients, you know, they don't want to have pain or they don't want to feel sick or whatever. But, you know, reiterate to them and make that turn into something somewhat comfortable or neutral and say, hey, your body's telling you something. Right. This is important.
Right.
You know, don't block it. Figure it out. Try to figure out what is it that's going on, because it wouldn't be there if there wasn't something that needed to be addressed.
Right.
You know, because our bodies are constantly, continually trying to, you know, live in a symbiotic relation, you know, just being normal. Normal is healthy.
Right.
But it just gets a little discombobulated with.
And see, I think that's what I like the best is when, you know, you spend a lot of your childhood and your early 20s even maybe seeking out or going to the doctor and just placing all the responsibility on that doctor to fix you. Like whenever I, you know, the older I get, the more I want to know what my responsibility is in this, so that because I'm only going to be in this doctor's office and talking to you for an hour or whatever, I want to know what my responsibility is so that the next time I do come to you, I can be like, well, this is what I've tried, this is what I've done, and then please help me. You know, now it's your turn, doc.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about conscious healers is it's that and even you two in this room, I've heard you talk about it, are not specifically healers yourself, but you are the conduit through which the healing comes through from a higher place or from a source of however you describe that for yourselves. And so like that mantra of I am not fixing you, I am just simply channeling the energy and the knowledge for you to accept the situation and grow into whatever that space is that will be healthier for you.
Yeah, supporting you, offering resources of all different levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so is the goal then?
The ability to clear and activate that which is inside of you that you didn't know was available as a physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual resource.
Right. And so then at some point I can say I have a headache and I can go into myself and say, okay, where's the source? What level is this on? Is it somebody else's that I've taken on? Is it mine? And then how do I go about releasing what it is that is causing that stress?
You got
all on
it.
My own.
There you go, Pete. You
and that's what it. I love so much about it is because like you both, you know, you in doing your grown-up nursing job, you know what I mean, aside from the 50 billion other things that you do on a day-to-day basis. And then you as well as a chiropractor, it's not just – that's what people like conscious doctors are not just doctors. They are educators. Mm-hmm. And that is the difference between the two, I think. You can either go to a doctor and they can fix you with a pill or a prescription or whatever. Or you can go to people like that are in the studio today that we were talking to that are here all the time that can not only help you see what you need to see – but also educate you on what it is that's actually happening on so many different levels. That is cool.
Yeah.
More of that, please.
You know, doctor means teacher. I mean, that's what it means.
You would think.
You know, and that's
I think I just learned that today.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know, so that's a huge part of my, you know, what I do is to teach because I was taught. So then it's just like you carry on that. If she was so helpful in teaching me like what goes on with the body, and then you start just kind of tapping that in to everybody, and then you start to go, wow, you know, just a little bit of change can, hey, maybe I shouldn't eat that, maybe I should consciously become more aware of.
I also think though that, you know, you're like you said, it doctor means teacher. I feel like some of the doctors I went to fell asleep when that slide was happening, that they're like, oh, and by the way, you all really need to pay attention to this.
Yeah.
Here's this slide, and it says doctor means teacher. I think a couple of people I've been to is like, nope.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you, and I want to, you know, give you all this to fix you.
Well, you know, and that's a thing is you can have highly intelligent people that are able to take the tests and become the doctors. But they're kind of missing that personality to have the teaching capability.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of where you could be misguided or whatever, where it's just, you know, it's this specific new pill that just came out is the answer, you know, and so you follow that and, you know, and that's what happens.
Yeah, the model got muffled.
Muffled.
a little bit
melted
over the years, and
yeah. model got
and,
muddied
and went in a lot of directions. But it what's did. Really what's really wonderful, though, even in the realm of Western medicine, is there is patient advocacy and patients, parents, children, all of them are learning how to interact and take responsibility for their care, and the institution isn't quite ready for it yet. We're gearing up. All of us are supporting that in bridging that process and growing.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to ask you a few different things, because I think in chiropractic care, which is really phenomenal, is you look at structural and nervous system and brain integration from a stress response.
Yeah.
And I really feel that people out there, even children, really don't understand how much stress affects us physiologically and really creates in these patterns of stress, whether that stress is physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, no matter where it is, and it can be overlaid as well. You can start with a physical one, but the physical one was you fell and you hurt your knee.
Mm-hmm.
So your knee is out of whack, the patella is out of whack, for example, or the fibula gets out of whack. And then what happens is you then judge yourself that you fall. Oh, you know, stupid me. How could I have done that? Right. And then that furthers the denigration of the healing process. And then on top of it, I don't know, you could say, well, I wasn't doing my purpose. I cheated. I left school early, you know. Mm-hmm. So there could be all these other layered things that landed on the hurt knee that need unlayering and unpeeling from that stress pattern. And so learning about these different aspects to unravel your stress on a daily basis supports you in keeping a whole and healthy body so that you're able to then continue in being that full expression of yourself.
Yep.
And so could you describe for people a little bit about, when we talked about it as a newborn and what it means through the birthing process about experiencing different stress patterns, but what does it mean for a little person? And maybe then, you know, a middle child or and a teenager and an adult and an older adult, what do they go through in your life's continuum that experiences stress patterns that people can do to start to unravel them?
And that's a fantastic question that we're going to answer when we come back from this commercial break.
Yoo-hoo.
The Specialty Produce app is the world's number one handheld resource on produce. The app features photographs, recipes, geography and history, taste and culinary applications on over 1,900 produce items. From apples to zapote, we've got your produce questions answered. Our app is available for both iPhone and Android. Download our app for free today.
All right. Well, welcome back. And Dr. Chris.
Yes.
I believe a question.
Awesome question. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's all connected in some way that when children are growing up, they have this free, innocent personality. They're doing things, you know, they don't know that sticking the knife in the toaster is bad, you know, and hopefully you catch them. And when you...
Especially when it's on.
Yes, when it's on.
You know, so
you, as a parent, you kind of, you know, you're like, hey, you know, you might kind of scare them. And then that accumulates a fear, a stress response.
Right.
So then you think, well, that's very helpful that, you know, well, they know not to do that again. But what you've done is you kind of trigger that stress response in that area. So then you kind of get those their little adrenal glands going and like, oh, I don't, you know, maybe I don't want to do that again. But then if you don't emphasize with them and really sit down and talk to them and explain why, if you don't explain why, then that they can still kind of be conditioned in that response. But if you sit down and say, hey, this is what happens, it's going to calm their body down.
Right.
They're going to just be like, oh, okay, now I can see why, you know, daddy didn't, you know, kind of struck a little fear in me, but it wasn't to be mean. It was just, there was a purpose behind it.
Right.
So then when, as time goes on, let's say the child, you know, falls down, they hurt their back and, you know, like I told you to not, you know, swing upside down or whatever, that there's that connection of there's trauma with an emotional response.
Right.
And then somehow, some way, that's connected.
Right.
And that can be connected with that low back pain as they get older.
Right.
And they might experience, it's like Pavlov's dog experience.
Either a similar emotion.
Yes.
Or a similar behavior, physical behavior pattern.
Yep.
that creates that attachment again to that stress pattern.
Yep.
So when we go in and see the chiropractor, when we go in and get adjusted, we not only get physical structural adjustments, but we also get nervous system and brain integration to unravel that stress response.
Yep, absolutely. And what's cool is, like, if I see a pattern where the pain goes away within, you know, maybe 3-6 visits where, you know, hey, the pain's gone, but we still know there's some soft tissue stuff to take care of, then that's a great sign. But if the pain keeps on consisting, then you know that there's some type of a mental, emotional component to that specific structure.
Right.
So, you know, as parents, you go, well, how's that related to the kid? You know, you just sit there and go, hey, do you remember when you had that boss walk in the room, you instantly did this?
Right.
You know, like you could feel the stress. That's what the kids go through.
Right.
The kids go through it constantly.
And you can timeline them through that muscle response testing.
Yes.
So if they're a 6-year-old with this, with the same stress pattern that shows up every week in the office, for example, and you muscle response test them and you ask them, okay, this is in the emotional body. Okay. So when did this first occur? When did this stress pattern first occur? Mm-hmm. It occurred when they were 2. Okay, great. 2 years, 2 months, whatever day, the body remembers. It holds that cellular memory. And that's what we're unpatterning, is that cellular memory, so that it frees those cells. It frees that system to not have that same stress response, so that it's allowed to go do something else. It's not holding it in place. So it's amazing how much we store a library of past traumas and incidences, whether that's emotional, mental, or physical in that respect.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing we can take away from today's experience with this conversation, is that we are in charge of our bodies. As we look for care in the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual realms of healing, look for those relationships that allow us to be in charge of that healing with someone teaching us. And the biggest thing, and Travis and I just watched a documentary or some interviews on this yesterday, is that it's never too late. You could be 94 and on your deathbed, and then all of a sudden you fix, or you heal, you find a new way to think, to feel, to process your feelings, and then all of a sudden the body starts repairing itself. Maybe you live to be 120. Who knows? Like,
that
we're entering an age of medical care, physical care, emotional care that is going to prolong our lives, not because we found a new pill for it, but because we found a new inner...
Well, an inner thing in the you know, doctors connection. To actually educate us on this. I used to say, probably about 5 years ago, if someone ever told me that I was going to live to be 120, I'd be like, no, I don't want to. Like, because up into my 30s, I didn't know what responsibility we had in ourselves. So it was like, I don't want to be 120 with all this going on. But the more I'm learning from people like you two that are educating me, because
you might be healthier at 120 than you are
right
now.
Exactly. That's what I'm learning. I'm learning that, you know, I have not even hit the peak of my health right now, because Lord, no one ever taught me any of this stuff. And we are in, this is exactly where the Center for Conscious Kids comes in. And people that we bring in here, like Dr. Hagenstig, Chinksting, is that Hagen, Hagen, yes.
Hagen,
so, Hagen, is that, like, we are in this moment, in this time of people are incredibly hungry for education.
Yes.
They're hungry for this stuff. And so this is the platform that we're building, and it's going to be this big, huge thing in a matter of time, is places to go to find people like Dr. Chris, to find like nurses and practitioners and doctors and across the whole plethora of things that you
healers,
teachers,
spectrum of healers,
coaches.
Right.
It's like a spectrum of these people to go on to have one place to be able to find. And we're starting with Center for Conscious Kids. So check it out. Definitely. So I guess one thing that we like to ask everybody is, what does conscious mean to you? Like, what does being a conscious chiropractor mean to you? What is your definition of that?
Yeah. The first thing, it just is truth. It's, just finding that connection with everybody that can light up that healing. We call it innate intelligence, that you know, the part that you cut your finger, it'll heal by itself. Like if you can just tap into removing the interference, the emotion, the mental, you're finding their truth. It's in there. Like everything they need is in there. And that's what's doing the healing. I just move a little of this, recommend a little of this, you know. So to me, consciousness is really just a truth, you know, just the truth, the true essence of who that person really is and what they're potential and capable of, you know, and its greatness, its health, it's there's so much. That's kind of my little feel on that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is...
I got dung.
You got dinged.
I got dinged.
That's our aha bell.
All right.
Because that's a great answer. Like, right. Truth. Yes. What does conscious mean to you? Truth. And that is the truth.
Yeah.
To know exactly and be aware of everything that's going along with you. And to finding people like you, Dr. Hagenstegg, and, you know, you, of course.
Thank you.
That can teach us those things.
Mm-hmm. And with that, we thank you for coming in today.
Oh, yes, awesome.
Center for Conscious Kids.
We're going to do a little plug.
Thank you all for joining us.
Yeah. You can get a hold of Dr. Hagenstegg. He has many ways to get a hold of him. You can get him on Facebook, which is...
Oh, there. I got Hagenstegg Chiropractic. I'm sure it'll be printed up on the Center for Conscious Kids.
Yes.
And... my website is chiropracticpoway.com, and I guess phone number 858-679-8179. And I got a few Facebook pages, Dr. Chris Hagenstegg and Hagenstegg Chiropractic.
Yeah, we're going to put all of that
awesome.
In the comments as well. Yeah. We're going to post it on the live as well as put some little notes in the podcast. But thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for sharing yourself.
This is great.
Yeah. Such a great podcast. Thanks so much for coming in. And we will see or hear or listen to you all, interact with you all. That's another thing to be brought up is that if you want to do a little bit more interaction than you normally do just by listening to us, which we love you for listening, you can also catch us between the hours of 12:30 and 1:30 whenever we decide to be able to get all this electrical stuff up and working. On Thursdays between 12:30 and 1:00 on the Facebook page, Center for Conscious Kids. We do a live there. You can talk to us. We can answer your questions if you have any. And it's a little bit of a different experience. You can see what we look like, and we're very pretty people. So make sure you tune in, check us out, and we will talk and see to you all next week. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. For more information on how to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families, visit our website at www.centerforconscious.com. That's www.centerforconsciouskids.com. Join us again next week as we get a little bit more conscious and a little bit more centered, and we'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you.